I'm Sean Crawford. Next summer marks the 75th anniversary of atomic bombs being dropped on Japan. It's one of the most controversial decisions in U.S. history. Research that resulted in the weapons of mass destruction took place at several locations, but Chicago became one of the main science centers. And in this week's Illinois Issues report, I talked with writer Tara McClellan McAndrew about the work done in the state and the reasons Chicago was a Manhattan Project site.
Well, there were several reasons. One was it was the home of Arthur Holly Compton, who was a physicist who was already working on some of this. Chicago was also seen as centrally located in the country so that other Manhattan Project scientists around the country could access it fairly readily. Also, the University of Chicago approved of being a Manhattan Project site and supported it.
This work going on, people unaware of it in a very busy location in a major city, it seems kind of dangerous.
It does, doesn't it? It was a secret project, and secrecy was something that was drilled into everyone's minds who worked on the Manhattan Project. There have been some oral histories taken of people who worked on the project. And one was of William J. Nicholson, who helped create the pile, as it was called. That was what became the nuclear reactor that developed the first self-sustaining nuclear reaction at the University of Chicago. And he talks about this need for secrecy and how it was drilled into all of the staff there.
There were known agents of the German government in and around the University of Chicago. And we were told that. And that we were not to reveal anything of what you do. Don't take up with strangers. If you're having a sandwich someplace or a beer or whatever, watch out that people who may engage you in conversation would be damaging to the war effort, and that they may actually be the enemy.
So one huge question that comes up about this Manhattan Project site at the University of Chicago in the middle of this metropolitan site is, was there a danger? Was there a danger to the university, Chicago, Illinois, even the Midwest region? And the physicists I spoke to said, in essence, no. The nuclear reactor that the scientists were developing at Chicago was very low powered in comparison to what we see today. At most, it could have powered a 200-watt light bulb. Therefore, it was not putting out the kind of radiation that one of our nuclear reactors today could do, and therefore the harm was not significant. Now, there was some danger to the people who were in the room where that nuclear reactor was working. One of the dangers, although the scientists in charge had done innumerable calculations to make sure the danger was very small, there was still a worry that the nuclear reactor could get out of control. And they took protection against that, and they had what they called the suicide squad, 2 to 3 men who stood atop the nuclear reactor with a cadmium solution so that in case it did run away and start to melt down, they would pour this over the pile and hopefully it would stop. But as one scientist told me, the suicide squad would not live to tell about it.
The first nuclear reaction took place there, and it was momentous, you know, especially when you think about it in the terms of what would come later. But at the time, from what I read in your story to those folks, it was sort of matter of fact.
It was a big deal, but their reaction was a bit anticlimactic. They basically broke out a bottle of Chianti and all signed the basket that the bottle of Chianti was in, and that was pretty much it. The physicists I talked to said that the lead scientists on the reactor, Enrico Fermi, was so sure. He had done endless calculations. He carried his slide rule around with him. For those who don't know what a slide rule is, that was your pre-computer calculator in the days. And he carried that around with him. He did endless calculations to make sure he knew what was going to happen with this nuclear reactor. And so it went exactly as planned. And in essence, while it was an enormous event, it changed our lives. It changed science and international relations forever. The scientists there just pretty much congratulated each other and broke out a bottle.
Were the scientists concerned about the use of this technology going forward? I mean, from the time they were working on this, had they had some idea in their mind that they could be unleashing something that they will never be able to put back in the bottle, so to speak?
The folks I talked to said that the scientists, of course, are smart people. These were literally some of the greatest brains of the 20th century, scientists at the top of their field. They knew the potential of the science that they were working on, and did they know immediately that they were working on a bomb? It's kind of unclear. They certainly became aware of it as their work went on during the Manhattan Project. And after it became clear that there would be a bomb developed from their work, some of them became very concerned about that, some of the Chicago scientists especially. And they developed the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists of Chicago to work on trying to control the use and thoughts and opinions about this new power they had unleashed. After the Met Lab in Chicago achieved its goals of creating plutonium and creating the first self-sustaining nuclear reactor, both of which were essential for developing atomic bombs for the war purpose, some of the scientists continued the work on the possibilities of this new nuclear power, specifically some of the peaceful purposes of it. And they continued that work at Argonne National Laboratory in Lamont, which still exists and still works today.
We talked about the concerns that something could go wrong, possibly, maybe be dangerous to people around it. At the same time, there was also concerns that the Germans especially would find out that this work was being done there, and Chicago could become a target during the war. That is something that was drilled into people as well.
Yes. In fact, some of the Chicago scientists working on the Manhattan Project were refugees from fascist Europe. And I spoke to a physicist who wrote a book related to the Manhattan Project. And he talks about how they had feared that the Nazis would bomb Chicago specifically because of the work and because of the refugees there.
Here's physicist Stanley Wirt.
They felt quite rightly that the Nazis basically wanted to kill them.
Right.
In fact,
right.
I found an interesting little note in the Argonne archives many years ago. It said, in effect, of course, the Germans must know we're here, so when they have an atomic bomb, the first one they'll drop will be on Chicago. Mm. That was the risk that they foresaw to Chicago area, that the Germans would drop an atomic bomb on them.
So we know that people high up in the military, I'm guessing, would have known about all of this work, and you know, the president's administration maybe would have known about what was happening here. Ooh. Did everybody at the University of Chicago, even the administration there, know what was taking place?
The Manhattan Project was extremely secret, ultra secret. I've read in one place that even Truman didn't know about it, which I have a hard time believing, that Congress didn't know about it. Again, I haven't verified. And the big question, even today, is did the University of Chicago president, Robert Hutchins, know what was going on in his own backyard, almost literally, beneath his football stadium? And it sounds like there's a lot of disagreement about that. Now, I have since read the Robert Maynard Hutchins, a memoir by Milton Mayer, and he says he absolutely knew about it, but was under instructions that when he told his deans and trustees, number one, he could not even mention the word uranium, and that when they asked him if there was any danger to the university or city, he said unlikely, but he couldn't rule it out. Now, here's what a physicist at the University of Chicago, a current physicist whom I interviewed, said about whether or not he thinks the president knew.
He had to know. It was only two blocks from his house. Historians can debate it, but I'm sure he knew about it. He just couldn't officially know about it because you can't, as I said, you can't ask, can I make a nuclear chain reaction on your campus in the middle of the city? And the answer is, heck no.
That physicist is Dr. Henry Frisch, and his story is very interesting because he is literally a Los Alamos baby. His parents worked on the Los Alamos project, and that's where he was born.
Today, there is a monument that's at that site that recognizes that work. Talk about that, and is it something that people on the campus pay a lot of attention to or remember that this took place there? Is this just something of the past that people have mostly forgotten?
That's a great question. Yes, there was a sculpture placed atop the site where the nuclear reactor was. It's right next to this beautiful new library they have. And the sculpture is very abstract. It looks like a nuclear mushroom cloud. Some people says it looks like a human brain. I think that was intentional on the sculptor's part. And when I interviewed Dr. Henry Frisch, again, a physicist currently at the University of Chicago and literally a Los Alamos baby himself, his parents worked at Los Alamos, he said that the University of Chicago has kind of split feelings about being the site of the first self-sustaining nuclear reactor in the world. He says that they have celebrated the 75th anniversary of that nuclear reactor going critical, but that there are some people who feel very uncomfortable about it because of course, how that power ended up being used and what it has done today to our international relations and potential of war.
That's writer Tara McClellan McAndrew. Her full story about the role of Illinois in the Manhattan Project is at her website, nprillinois.org.